Collision Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Message to our favorite people in all the world, our listeners. Revolution Radio is you. Now, thanks to your continuing support, Revolution Radio will embark on its sixth year, bigger and better than ever. You, the listeners, have made Revolution Radio what it is, the number one commercial-free, listener-supported talk radio station on the web and in the world. With 24 hours of live programming, 92 hosts on two astounding networks, Studio A and Studio B, delivering directly to you the most cutting-edge information available. In fact, you, the listeners, have gone on to be some of our most popular radio hosts. You, the listener, offer feedback that molds our programming to appeal to our worldwide audience. In fact, you, the listener, provide us with eyes and ears on the ground to give us the inside scoop on stories the mainstream media fears to touch, reporting about newsworthy events in your area, and you, the listener, are the lifeblood of this station. And we thank you for being such a treasured member of our Revolution Radio family. And so this holiday season, from us to all of you, have a happy and safe holiday season, and let's make this new year a success once again together. Thank you.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human beings.
When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even constantly take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming.
Or you know.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We are just a couple days before Christmas. I hope you're having a good holiday season. I got Solon on the line here for the first hour, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Meyer material. I'm going to do a little bit short monologue, I think, here at the beginning, and then we're going to have Frosty Wooldridge on for the second hour. Billy's an 81-year-old man in Switzerland. His name is Edward Albert Meyer. I've really dedicated most of this show to his writings. And the reason we talk about overpopulation in the second hour is because, according to Billy, the biggest problems that we face are with overpopulation. The other huge problem that we have to deal with is learning to control our thoughts. And our subconscious minds, for various reasons, are filled with a lot of garbage. And we learn to think in negative ways, and we probably think, I'm sure a lot of people think, 1,000 negative thoughts a day at least. So one of the important things in the spiritual life that we try to learn is to think in a neutral, positive way. And in order to do that, sometimes you have to kind of train yourself. So one of the things I like to do is take all these principles that Billy's talked about in his books and kind of reduce them down slightly and just, for example, tell myself I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm enthusiastic, I'm cheerful, I'm relaxed. And these come straight from the book. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune. I create my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I organize my thoughts, I strengthen my thoughts, I clarify my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, any conceivable thing can come into fruition. Every thought that is enlivened by might and power must, as a cause, also bring a quite certain effect. And the effect of the thought is directly proportional to its might and power. My consciousness is like a garden filled with flourishing plants. The negative and the positive are two forces that belong together because they depend on one another and should never be separated. As a rule, suffering is an effect of some form of wrong thinking. Incidents of suffering in the life are indicators that the law of harmony has been disregarded and broken. With tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause the thoughts to go abruptly from one extreme to another, which creates a misdirection of the thoughts, which triggers emotions that can even lead to murder and manslaughter. So that's why it's so important to say these things to help get your mind thinking in that neutral, positive way. I'm going to bring Solon on here just shortly, but I wanted to just in a very quick way, cover the creational natural laws again. First, the law of love. It refers to the highest form of love, effective love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So love is absolutely logical. It's stable. Romantic love is just the opposite. It's very unstable. So we're talking about a love between a mother and a daughter, or a father and a son, or between brothers and sisters or friends, is the kind of effective love that we're talking about. And creation literally radiates this love. That's why it feels so good to be in nature. And the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. Remember, creation is not God. There is no God in the sense that religions teach. Creations is a neutral, positive entity with no personality, a super intelligence that strives and drives continually for evolution. That's the second law, the law of striving. Solon and I are going to talk about the law of striving today. It's the fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no life. Without striving, there is no happiness. Striving is the very nature of the human being. The law of harmony says you should think in a neutral, positive way. It also talks about the bipolar structure of everything that exists. There's always a negative and a positive. The law of universal creation, every thought that is enlivened by might and power must as a cause also bring a quite certain effect. And the effect of your thoughts is directly proportional to the might and power of your thoughts. So the more intensity you have behind your thoughts, the more they affect reality. So you want to be thinking neutral, positive thoughts, not negative thoughts, because you can bring in disaster in your life with negative thinking. Another creational natural law, just briefly, is the law of population. Planets on our size should have about 500 million people, and next hour we'll cover that in a little more detail. So let me say hello to Solon. Solon, are you standing by?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
How are things in North Carolina?
Well, we just got done with this massive rain we got for the last 2 days, so it's nice and sunny now.
Well, that sounds great. You guys have had a lot of heavy snow about a week or two ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm just far south where I didn't have to worry about the snow or ice, but yeah.
That's very, very good. I think all of the creation, all the weather, everything is disrupted by our tremendous population. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I think Christian called it climate destruction.
That's the best term I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's no longer climate change.
It's climate destruction. Oh, my goodness. That is perfect. So, well, what can we do? We've got to do two things. One is to learn to control our thoughts, and the other one is striving. And this is a principle described in the book, The Way to Live. And let me just read a sentence or two here. As in the case with the creation itself, every single vasen of any kind, from the very first breath to its very last, also strives for that which is higher, for evolution and completion. So if you're not striving, you're going to be very unhappy. And if you look back in your life, there are probably times where you really weren't striving the way you should. And you may have been suffering from depression. If someone tries to escape from this responsibility through drugs, through alcohol, through some kind of pleasure, whether it's partying or sex, they're going to be miserable in the end. Isn't that true, Solon?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's a cause of being idle.
Elaborate.
Well, I just got done reading something about idleness, because that's kind of how I look at people who don't strive. They end up being idle, and they fall into boredom, as you call it.
Right.
Do you know
boredom is related to being a psychopath? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it's a trait, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead. Very interesting what you're saying there.
Well, he wrote something. He's written a lot of things about being idle, but there was an article I looked up that was, human beings without work or other valuable activities go to sea. And if you look at in nature, things that go to sea, especially annuals, they realize they're about to die. And so they just put on all these fruits with seeds to increase their chances of reproduction, or I should say, you know, reincarnation for them, or however you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I saw this article, and I was like, yeah, you know, it's a really good point.
Yeah. So, Billy, let me make sure I'm making a correct understanding here. Billy is saying that if you're idle, you're going to seed. It's like you're becoming a seed. Is that what he means?
Well, that's what it says. But, yeah, I was trying to explain how I saw it.
Okay.
You know, it's a whole article about this whole thing. I have some notes here I took of it.
Oh, awesome.
So one of them was that it drives a human being away from useful social functions. Like this radio show would be considered one, and people listening and commenting on either YouTube or any of the other ways of being able to interact with this.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're saying when we stop striving, we literally kind of withdraw to a certain degree and we don't interact with people?
Yes. He actually goes into it deep, more that towards the end of this article, he says that we see everything as misery. We have a lack of realizing that we're doing this, we're projecting these thoughts on everything, and then we start blaming others for them.
Boy, that's so interesting.
Yeah, we almost have an epidemic of this today.
Is that why people turn to drugs? Because it makes them kind of numb?
You know, I used to be addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I feel like it gives you a sense of doing something.
Really?
When I was doing it. Yeah, I mean, I would say my biggest fear today is the fact that they're making it legal, where I feel like with especially with marijuana, you had to go out and be social about finding such things.
Ah.
So I am not for marijuana usage at all. Medical, I guess, would be all right. But I see what we're doing now is we're almost making it worse because we're going to take the social function out of things. So there is good and bad to both of these sides.
Did the Meyer information help you get away from drugs and alcohol?
Really, it was a lifestyle for me, and I had to change my lifestyle in order to get out of it. Because I was so, everything around me was drugs and alcohol.
Well, so, that's interesting, man. That is so interesting. One of my nieces, she was addicted to like really hard drugs for a while. And she had to completely just, you know, go cold turkey. And, you know, it was just really, really bad. Did you get that bad or was it more just a social thing?
Well, no, I mean, I got pretty bad, and still to this day, like, I think about how exciting a lot of it was. And so I try not to talk about that because it's almost like I promote it now when I talk about it.
Wow. So, you know, I would have to say we'll definitely get off this topic because I don't want to put bad thoughts in your mind. But, you know, with me, I'm very lucky because – oh, I remember I took a Valium once. I mean, it was prescribed by doctors, and my back was really bothering me when I was much younger, and I hated the way I felt. Oh, I hated it. I would rather have the pain. I'm serious, man.
Well, I've actually never enjoyed pain medication because it seems to bother my psyche. Like I'm either really aggressive or I'm like really lovey, and so I've never liked those feelings when they're extreme like that.
Wow. So you were talking about idleness, and this is in an article, like a FIGU bulletin or something?
Yeah, I think this was, I actually found it on Future Mankind, and it was translated, so it wasn't anything I did. And Billy actually wrote this in June of 2018.
Gosh, that's really,
I'm really sorry, modern. 28. I'm sorry, oh. 2008.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
That's still good, though, I mean.
Yes, it's so it's, you know, it's what, 10 years old. Mm-hmm. So this is very new. And he talks about this people losing their joy of living, and this creates suicide.
Wow. That's you're right. There is an epidemic of suicide.
Yeah. It also talks about, no, this is something I noticed when I was getting older. People who seem to retire seem to be, they seem to get mad at things, almost like it gives them something to look forward to be mad at people or mad at something, you know, when they're not doing anything. Have you ever noticed that?
You know, I think about retirement, and I just don't ever see myself retiring. I just don't see it. I mean, you know, I've never trusted these, you know, we all have the retirement, the savings retirement and all that. I've never really been a person. You know, it's great if it's going to be there, but man, I wouldn't doubt it if this government just goes completely, you know, steals all the money that people have set aside. I mean, I wouldn't trust the banking system and the government is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Billy's made predictions that it's all going to run out and cause all kinds of problems with pensions and retirement funds. And it's, I actually have a friend who's told me about some of his family members in Texas, and they're getting to the point where they're having to raise that age in which you are, you have to become in order to get these benefits, because there's just so many people and they're running out of money.
No, man, I tell you, it's, yeah, it's just, I just go speechless, because, you know, well, without that, I'm glad we got to spiritual teachings, because it's, you know, I personally have a constant fight against these subtle negative feelings and subtle negative thoughts that come in. Like today, I haven't had any at all. And wow, I just have such enthusiasm and I just want to work. And I want, no, that's the one thing. If you let negative thoughts creep in, it will take away your desire to strive.
Yeah, you know, I sent you that translation where in the Om where it was talking about the seven senses.
Yeah.
And number six being feelings that come from your thoughts.
Yes.
I feel like once you start to think negatively and they are like, you know, out of control, you will feel them in your psyche. You'll either start shaking or you'll start getting hot. You know, you know when things are out of order.
Oh, yeah.
But you must learn to pay attention to it.
I, every morning, the negative feelings come in. So I have to repeat all those things I did at the beginning of the show. And we do it every day almost.
Yeah, that's definitely one way of going about it. I feel like there's so many different ways and everyone's very different.
How do you have you developed anything?
To be honest with you, sometimes I think it through, like, why am I thinking this way? And then right. If it's just getting out of control, then I'll typically smile and just put my thoughts onto something else. You know, Billy's talked about wish dreams before. I'll go into my wish dream.
Yeah. That's a good way. Can you kind of visualize something, that is very pleasurable? You know, and, you know, like I can think about the woods right out here. I can think about, you know, playing my guitar and feeling the music and, you know, or think about my cats or whatever. My cats are kind of fun. But anything that you can visualize. Yeah, he talks about visualization.
Yeah, it seems to be very much connected to the middle part of the brain. So visualization is actually extremely important.
You know, and when I meditate, and I don't know, I mean, I don't do it exactly the way he says, but I visualize certain things. Like I'll visualize a blue sky, and then I'll visualize a green hillside, and then I'll visualize a yellow sun, which kind of sets and turns into a reddish sun. And then I visualize the rose. Billy talks about visualizing a rose. Do you remember that from some of the meditation writings?
Yeah. You have to see the rose and yeah. I can't remember exactly how it went, but I know you would look at it and you would say something.
Right? Oh, really? I don't remember that.
The golden rose meditation, I think it was.
I don't remember exactly what you're supposed to say. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't either. I know when you looked at the fire, or I'm sorry, the candle, you would say sun, but then you started picturing a rose eventually.
That's so interesting, because he does advocate burning a candle, which I, for some reason, I've never done. I probably should.
Yeah, I do a good bit, so I can't say much.
You know, what's really interesting, when I get in this a real meditative state, I go into... like, I don't know if it's called theta, brainwaves or whatever, but it's just before sleep. And I can visualize almost anything at that point. You know, like I can walk around my home mentally. I can go outside the door. I can see everything. And I can stay in that state. I've stayed in that state 2 hours before. And when I'm in that state, I have no sense of time. So when I finally come out of it, I'm like, okay, I have no sense of time. And I'll a lot of times look and see what time it was, and it will feel like 10 or 15 minutes, but it's been 2 hours. So I guess that's a gift, isn't it?
Yeah, it goes with the 7 cents. Thank you.
Explain the 7 cents.
Well, hold on. Let me pull it up here. So it's the empfinding that we all do.
The feeling is empfinding or empfinding the feeling.
Yeah, it's. I think he calls it the spiritual perception or something like that.
The fine spiritual. Fine. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, man. I can't find it on Skype here, but basically it's. Oh man, I want to say it exactly.
It's, you know, it's interesting that it's called the fine feeling, because it also talks about the fine fluidal energies. I wonder if they must be related in some way.
Definitely are related. Yeah, I feel like we don't have the words for them yet. You know,
right?
But Philly has kind of brought them to our attention that they exist. And I feel like that's why he's writing about things that is before our time. So he's a little bit more advanced about knowing these things that we have yet to learn.
You know, the fine fluidal energies and the true power of our thoughts, once we really start to know those, I think the world's going to change.
Yeah. If you read I think it's 251, it talks about, I think, China or Japan having to rewrite physics. And I think it's clear when we find out, you know, when we start advancing more in this sense, we will realize these things more and more, and we'll probably utilize them.
That's so interesting.
So I'll read.
Good. I'm you sorry. Found it? You found it?
Yes. Now, I will have to say that this is my own translation. But this is from the this is Om 32, 117, and it's actually a clarion, which is known as an explanation. To me, I look at it as somebody clarifying something to me. So here we go. Number 7 says that you infending with your psyche, and it says respective, or i.e., the infending from the Geist area, which equals receiving from the consciousness. Anybody who's ever seen that diagram where everything starts from the consciousness and then goes through all these steps before it gets to the fine, or I should say, before it gets to the spirit side of things, and vice versa.
Can you tell us in general terms a little more about the OM, the Om Phalen Mirado? I think it translates as the navel of life.
Yeah. Now, I've actually never done any research on what is said about it, but I can just tell you what I've read in there so far. It seems that these are like teachings of the earth history, as well as teachings of helping a person understand things. I'm very attracted to Om 32 because it gives these sentences that make a person think.
Wow. And
if you've ever read the Talmud, I think it said Emmanuel was given parables. I think that's how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asking, why would you do that? And he was like, well, if someone hasn't developed their consciousness, this is something that helps them. They have to think about it. Oh. And I feel it does that to me, and I'm very attracted to it for that reason.
You know, the Om Phalen Mirado, doesn't it have sections in it that talk about, it says the gods of the earth came from the depths of space, mm-hmm, and created religions and demanded worship, et cetera, et cetera?
I have not read that part. The last, the one I read about our history was the Book of Enoch. It's not called that. I think it's Om 32, or I'm sorry, not 32. I think it's 33 or 30. I can't remember. I apologize. And it talks about extraterrestrials. It calls them these beings from, it's like our brothers and sisters from space almost. Mm-hmm. Celestial.
Celestial sons or whatever.
Yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't have the English for it, but that's it. If you know it, then we'll just go with that. And it talks about them coming here and mating with the people here and creating these massive giants, and then these giants eating people and trying to survive. And
Some of these giants, if I remember correctly, I'd have to go double check on my notes. They were so big, it would stagger your imagination, like over 35 feet tall.
Way over that. I think I did the calculations, and it was 100 and...
Really? That big?
100-something meters, which is even bigger than...
What?
They were massive.
Oh, my.
They were massive. Just think, if you're looking at human beings as a food source... You know what I'm saying? Like, we look at rabbits as a food source, right? And they're not necessarily very big, but we're way bigger than that. And they're looking at they were hunting us as food. And then we went to the cave, and that's really when these were the people that were not supposed to mix with the the earth humans. And so, you know, they were trying to, you know, change our genes back so we live longer. And then we ended up interbreeding, and then that's how those people came to be. And then eventually, when we all retreated into caves to get away from these giants, we all started to mingle again to the point where, you know, we all had the genes.
You know, I had never heard it explained that way. Does the OM talk about caves at all?
Oh, yeah, it goes in a way. I'm giving you, like, you know, you got to remember, you're getting this from me when I read it and have my own thoughts about it. And so I'm kind of giving it back. Sure. I always feel like it's way better to get it from the source, because you might get more from it than I would. I wasn't too interested in it. I just wanted to know who the Playaren were, and, you know, how they got here and this whole mission, and someone coming to read that. And I couldn't finish it because it started talking about the World Wars and the way the German was. I could see this going down as I was reading it, and I was getting a little sick. And so I kind of stopped.
Wait. It was talking about World War II and Germany?
It was talking about wars that have yet to come.
Wars that haven't even happened yet.
Yeah, and they sounded so horrible that it was hard to read. And I was like, this is so depressing. I can't read this.
I don't blame you.
I know it sounds crazy. Like, I'm
No, it doesn't. I mean, I can totally get that. Wow. So you got is it like a book, though? You bought it from Figu, and it's of the Umfallen Murado, and it's in German, right?
Yeah, it's all in German, yeah. I don't think there'll ever be a translation. I mean, you can translate it, but it's got old English and old German. Well, I'd say it's old German, so you'd end up using a lot of the old English terms, which are so foreign to me still. I'm still trying to understand how these...
You know what I absolutely abhor? I hate the religious interpretation of this more than anything. And the reason I hate it is because... It stifles people's evolution, because, you know, they call these the Nephilim, and they were really, and the way religion talks about it, they were really angels and demons. And, you know, it's just, you know, it just, there are certain things about religion, that certain mindsets and points of view, that completely stifle all evolution. And this is one of them, I think.
Yeah, it's an enslavement, because they're teaching you how to think. So you're not thinking for yourself, which we all should be thinking for ourselves.
But it's so fascinating what happened here, because this is an example of genetic manipulation that went bad, right? It went wrong, because these giants were almost insane, weren't they?
I mean, they were, to me, they were just normal human beings, except they run out of food source. And
oh, no kidding. So that's just my own interpretation. The OM never said anything like that.
No, you got to remember that at one point they came from these earth human beings. So they saw them as like mothers and fathers. And then eventually they just got hungry.
Oh, my Lord. So they couldn't feed themselves for some reason. They had trouble.
Yeah, that's eventually why they dried off. I apologize for cutting off.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. So it's probably they couldn't get enough meat.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's no different than you know, you hearing about, like, for instance, when we were coming here, we as an Americans came to the 13 colonies and we wanted to journey west. There was actually a family that got caught in a snowstorm, and they actually ended up eating one another.
Oh,
so I'd say it's no different than some of that, you know, where you're having to try to figure out a way to survive, and you're looking for all food sources you can. But eventually you die off, because it's not sustainable to be, you know, eating one another. And, you know.
You know, the Smithsonian covers up everything to do with giants. Have you ever heard about that?
I know that there is a lot of cover up with it, yeah.
Because they still have bones of some of these giants.
Oh, they're still discovering them, yeah, definitely.
And anytime they find these bones, the Smithsonian comes in and takes the bones away and, you know, won't say a word about it. No one's allowed to see. Because here's the deal, I think. If we knew our own, our real history, all the religions would go away. They would just evaporate.
Gone, yep.
Totally gone.
Eventually, I honestly look at all religions as, well, definitely Christianity as something dying, because especially with my generation, it's like we're looking for the truth. And when you read some of this stuff, it sounds like nonsense. And the truth's out there now. You just have to go and look for it.
It's very, very interesting. But I kind of derailed you. You were talking about the Empfinden. And which are the thoughts, the feelings that come from the thoughts.
No, that would be the number six, which is the feelings that originate from your thoughts.
Okay, so what are the Empfinden or the fine feeling?
I am just gonna say, I'll just say what. Now, I don't typically translate Empfinden, so
okay.
If you want to, I would be so happy if you did, because that's where I fall short, is I don't translate a lot of this in my own mind.
Okay.
So Empfinden, it says Empfinden with the psyche. That is to say, Empfinden out of the Geist area or the spiritual area, which is the receiver, which is received from our consciousness, which is on the material side from the way I see it. However, I guess it doesn't say either one.
So, you know what? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you talk a lot about the subconsciousness, and when we say things to ourselves or we look at things, they all go into this area. And basically, the consciousness is awareness. So anything that we give attention to, we are actually putting in ourselves.
Right.
So. Right. And it's going to spit things back out to us in terms of impulses. So what we feed ourselves, we also get back.
Well, that's really interesting, man. You know what's so interesting about talking about this material is that you never know where the conversation is going to go. I had no idea we were going to go this direction today.
Oh, well, I just thought it was fitting because I just read this, actually. I didn't know that he put the seven senses in the Om.
You know, one of the other things that I read going back to last week's show, and I don't even remember the book that this is in, but it's another book that Billy's written, where he says something along the lines, if you take yourself too seriously, or if you take too seriously anything that arises in relation to you, that you do very great harm to yourself. And I'm sure I've done very great harm to myself more than once, probably many times, by taking myself and my situation or whatever it is too seriously.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I think, for instance, me and a friend were talking about how sometimes you can be around someone who can process information faster than you. Right. And, you know, they correct you on your mistake. And then you're like, oh, man, I'm always making mistakes. And you're just like, you know, just like beating up yourself because you're, and in reality, you should be like, okay, well, I'll fix that, you know, move on, instead of like, that's kind of how I see this being too serious with yourself. You got to get to a point where you just got to loosen up and say, hey, I'm going to make mistakes and just move on.
Or like the thing I do sometimes at work, when the system screws up, I take that way too seriously too. That's another thing that can trigger my emotions.
Oh, you're talking about in the work environment.
Yes.
Oh, I know that feeling. And you can feel that. You can feel your psyche going into an uproar and all. And you're like freaking out, wanting to fix it. And,
right.
You know, that's also part of striving. You know, that little bit of stress that triggers you, that makes you say, all right, I got to fix this. I got to figure this out. I got to think this through.
Well, I know that my work is what, you know, drives me on in the spiritual teachings, because Yeah, because if you neglect, oh boy, you'll pay for it, because you'll be out of control in your thoughts, your emotions will be triggered, and then you start making bad thinking habitual, and then it's hard to stop thinking in negative terms, and then you really want to stop thinking in negative terms, and it takes a long time to stop yourself, you know, because the wrong thinking becomes ingrained, and you create these synapses in your brain of wrong thinking. And we don't want that. We want just the opposite. We want healthy thoughts, because healthy thoughts lead to enthusiasm. Enthusiasm leads us to strive more, right?
Mm-hmm. Or I like to look at it as optimism.
Optimism.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're kind of at a time in our history where everything's like, it's either right or left, you know, and you know, you have to be optimistic about the fact that these things are eventually going to come to an agreement and agree with one another.
The other thing that's interesting, if you put reincarnation in the mix too, because a lot of these people that are entrenched in these wrong thinking, they're going to have to die and reincarnate and get a new personality before they can really start to understand. Because I think some of these perspectives are locked in. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I see it as a mental illness.
I do too. That's a very profound thing you're saying there. That I think a lot of the... If we would sit and tell ourselves some of the things that, you know, people say, and I don't want to harp on religion too much, but if you think about, you know, if you really think about it, it is, there's insanity there.
Yeah, it's really sad. I actually just got out of a conversation where somebody wanted to debate me about Christianity, and I don't want to debate it at all. I mean, I'm just not in that where I need to be right about it or whatnot. I've just learned to just say, okay, look, you know, I'm reading you what I found. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything I want to say about it, you know, in terms of trying to debate it about Christianity or any other religion.
That is a very wise thing, because I don't think, even if you were to quote unquote win the debate, by winning the debate, you don't generally change people's point of view.
That's true.
You know, they have to come to the truth on their own. Although sometimes I don't mind the idea of debate sometimes, which I think's probably not good, because it's just me venting my aggression, I think, you know.
I have an example about this. Have you ever been around like a dog and you're like trying to force it to drink something or eat something, and eventually it bites you?
I've never been bitten, which is good.
Oh, well, have you been bitten?
Oh man, that's
well. Typically, you never get bit by your own animals,
right?
But anytime you force anything on something, you get that back in the same force, and typically in a negative nature. So you can't force someone to do something; they have to want to do it.
Yep, that's a good point. That's such a good point.
You know, I was actually talking about the color red. So Billy actually has this kind of relates, because I want to talk about the positive and negative. But Billy actually wrote something about the colors and, you know, their positive and negatives. And one of the positive was that red had the ability to be like activity. But one of the negative things was aggression. And if you kind of look at these two, they're very similar, because one of them is like, I want to do something. I want to do some type of activity. And one is if you get too far into always wanting to do it and do it more and stronger and to the point where it gets out of control, it does become aggressive.
You know, one of the things I have to watch in myself, because I don't know what it is. You talk about the importance of introspection. You know, I really love my pets. A lot of it is maybe almost kind of a romantic love in a sense. And that sounds kind of weird, because like when my pets behave badly, sometimes I get unusually angry, particularly my dogs. One of them's wild as hell, and he just goes wild, and it just pisses me off. You know, he's a really good dog, but, you know, for some reason, I have to watch myself. That's a real trigger point with me, you know. Anyway, there's a bad tangent.
It seems that all animals have their own personalities, just like all humans do, and just like with some humans you get along great with and some you don't, you know.
Right.
And I think that that's the case with some of the animals. And I really feel like we definitely force them to be a certain way. And sometimes they're not wanting to. You
know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. I have tempted to go off on all these tangents, which I feel like we're going off on so many damn tangents.
Yeah. I guess I'm not helping because I'm like beating into it.
No. This is very, very interesting. But it's just so interesting how about the show lately in the past couple of months. We make a plan to go one direction, and we go in another direction, and it's really interesting. It's like I also wanted to talk about this a little bit. You know, maybe we'll put – did you have anything you wanted to bring up about striving? Because it's one of the things we wanted to – allegedly yes. Talk about. Go ahead. I'll let you kind of start there.
Okay. Well, some other things that came from this paper was use it or lose it. And I definitely noticed this with people who know a foreign language. Lose it.
Right.
And I think this also comes with what you were saying that, you know, whenever we're feeling down or whatnot, you have these sayings that you say to yourself.
Right.
And I think that's also part of using this ability to promote your happiness.
You know, you can promote your own happiness.
Definitely. Yeah.
And it's very, very helpful to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think it was Contact 10. It said happiness comes from within. It's never a location.
Wow. That is very profound. You know, Contact 10 has some really interesting things in it. It also has a lot in it that I have yet to evolve enough to really appreciate. I know that's a lot of what happens in the Meyer case, at least with me. If I read something and it doesn't click, I just know I'm not evolved enough yet to understand what I'm reading, to really appreciate it. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, I would tell you right now, as I've, you know, studied the Geist's Lair, it's like Contact 10 has like, it makes sense, but it's like surface stuff. You know what I mean? It's not like a mother sitting down with a child and explaining things. It's more like you reading like a headline and being like, oh, okay.
One of the things that Contact Report 10 says, and just for people that may be listening to this show for the first time, Billy is an 81-year-old man from Switzerland. Back in the 70s is when he took all his UFO pictures and took all his films of all these ships. And I think he was in – was he in Hinterschmidt-Ruti then? Do you remember? Or was, close I'm, enough, right? Close
I don't know. I'm sorry.
He was close enough to Hinterschmidt-Ruti. But Semyase would land her ship at a predetermined location in the beginning. Billy would drive his moped out there, and they would have these conversations, and they were contacts. This occurred in the middle 1970s. And then when the contact was over, Semyase would go back to her ship and fly, I don't know, probably into Earth orbit or something. Billy would go home on his moped, go down on his computer, and then he would start getting the contact reports back verbatim, only I think they were in some kind of symbols or something, which he could translate. And then he would type really quickly on his computer. Well, the 10th contact deals with the spiritual teachings. And one thing that is said in the contact report 10 that I find so interesting is she said, the spirit, every human has a spirit. It never sleeps. It never dies. And it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. So that's one of the things over the years in my introspection I've taken notice of, is that when my thinking is wrong, a lot of times I will have an unpleasant feeling associated with it. I can never remember very many times in my life where my thinking was wrong and it made me feel good. I've never, you know, I can't recall that, because one of the things Billy says is, as suffering is the effect of some form of wrong thinking. And as a rule, suffering is an effect of some form of wrong thinking. And incidents of suffering in the life are indicators that the law of harmony has been disregarded and broken. So that's what Semyashi was telling. She says the spirit will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong. And I think what the spirit does, it sends us these impulses, which hit the material consciousness, and then the material consciousness, I don't know if it has a preconscious thought or whatever, but then I think a feeling is what I've kind of always looked into myself. A negative feeling will come out, an uncomfortable feeling. Have you thought about that ever?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, I do know that they would say the spirit, and sometimes they would mean the consciousness. So I'm not sure if that's what you're saying, or if that's what that would mean.
Do you remember that in Contact Report 10?
Yes. Yeah, I probably listened to Contact Report 10 a lot, actually.
It's very interesting. And, you know, another thing from that, I think it's Contact Report 10 that I find so interesting, is Semyashi said, love and wisdom go together. And love and wisdom, she said, love and wisdom go together. And the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. And I've thought about that over the years very much, that if you have true wisdom, you will also have love. And if you have true love, you also have some form of wisdom. Can you comment?
Yeah. Well, I also know that it's kind of three. You have also life. So anytime that you have love and wisdom, you will also be like life promoting, like you'll be almost supporting of life.
That's very interesting. You know, when Billy was very young, he said, I saw the light which the stars emitted, but I realized that there was an invisible light, which is the love of creation.
Yeah.
Very, very profound stuff for a little boy to be saying.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was very young. Hey, I want to say a couple more things in this article, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead. We've got about 7 minutes left in the hour, so go for it.
All right. Okay, so I'll read this. One's positive and then the next one's negative, so I'll leave with the positive. He talks about their interests, their abilities, their possibility hobbies, as well as their great and life-affirming thoughts dwindle away with these attitudes, and that's attitudes towards wanting to be idle. So what happens is, when this starts to come about, people start wasting away and they'll have a crisis identity. And I've noticed with a lot of people, I'll ask them for their favorite number or their favorite color, and it's like they don't know themselves.
Interesting.
Have you ever met someone who didn't have a favorite color or favorite number?
I have a favorite color, but I don't know that I have a favorite number. I might say the number 7, just because it appears in the Meyer information so much. When I was a kid, my favorite color was orange red for some reason. But as I've gotten older, I think I prefer greens and blues.
Ooh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so you know yourself, though, is what I mean.
Well, I'd like to know myself better. I'm still, and this goes back to this whole thing that we were going to try to talk about, is self-cognition. There are a series of steps that we go through in self-cognition. First, we discover our inner nature, which is basically our material consciousness. And then second, we discover our inner creational nature, which is related to our spirit form. Third, we start to detect the impulses for striving. And fourth, we start to follow the impulses to strive. But go ahead. You got just a few minutes left here. I want you to keep
going. All right. I just want to say two things. One of them was that in this article, he actually says during the older generations, they worked until they were a ripe old age. And they would still almost work until then. They would just do a little bit less work.
Right.
And so when you were talking about like retiring, I actually saw retirement as probably one of the worst things, because the statistics showed that people only live maybe like 3 years after they retired. And I was like, that's kind of scary.
Oh, yeah, I totally get that. I have a lot of, well, I have a major hobby that I could focus on, but still, I don't even consider retiring from my day job is being a real option. I mean, they may kick me out someday. I just get too old, but I don't think I'll retire.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And then I had something from Ohm 32 that I translated that I wanted to
kind of
wrap up and put in people's minds.
Okay.
This is Ohm 32 number 22. It says, through efforts alone, the human being promotes everything, just like a fire is nurtured by firewood. So even the weak can partake in happiness if the human being constantly makes an effort.
Wow. That is from the OM?
Yes, sir.
Do you feel like you could do a reasonable translation yourself?
Yeah, but I'm always scared because people want to debate about what words we should use in English. And even here, I didn't want to use effort because it was more of like a continuously striving the way I saw it. But this is my own issue with wanting to translate. I see these words here.
Is it acceptable to, in some cases, if there is no direct word you can translate into, is it acceptable to describe it in a couple of sentences?
Yes, that's how I'd much rather do it. Even when you gave me this page here that I was reading, I looked at the German and I was like, well, it says him here. So it's more like you're cutting away from your life and you're cutting, you know what I mean? And here it was just saying that you're kind of like, I forgot the word it used actually. And I saw it differently in the German than I did in the English. And I felt like people who read the English were kind of losing out on that. But
I would I would like to talk about that more maybe next week if you're able to come back on the show to talk about. I mean, because you were you reading this from The Way to Live or from The Might of Thoughts?
The Way to Live. I actually didn't open up Might of Thoughts because I really enjoyed the striving thing and I didn't. So, yeah.
Right. Now, I would have thought that the server would have started the music by now, but it hasn't. So I don't know if it's going to start right at the top of the hour, or maybe we won't even get a break this time. So I would say let's go ahead and go on break now, and the folks will just have to bear with a little bit of silence for just a few minutes, and I'll get back online here in about 2 minutes. Does that sound good to you, Solon?
That sounds great.
All right, great. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Are you curious about the origins of the human race? Join me, Gavin McCall, and a variety of guests on Ancient Humans, where we decipher world events, explore scientific theories, personal stories, myths, mysteries, and lore about the history of the human race.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.